when I was in graduate school years ago, I was not terribly competitive in the ordinary sense. I never cared much about grades. But starting in first grade, I never cared about grades. And there was never much point in competing, just do your work, do the things that interest you. But I did, then a graduate student came along who was extremely good. And I thought, you know, at the very least, I could step up to the plate. I could knock this guy off. Well, I would, actually, this person was a better graduate student than I was. I mean, he was much better in Latin, much better in technical criticism. I have a much deeper, richer appreciation of poetry, of course. But I learned a great deal that I wouldn't have learned by the competition with a friend. And unfortunately now, for some many decades later, I'm stuck in the same position with the same person who has given three brilliant lectures. And I was thinking last night as I went to bed in something like a stupor that now was my chance to knock it out of the park. Alas, it is not to be, so you'll just have to put up with second best. In reading Dante's account of his excursion through hell, modern readers, including many Christians, are puzzled by his scheme of values. It just doesn't seem right. The adulterous lovers, Paolo and Francesca, are in a rather cushy set of quarters near the entrance. Now, we all know that sexual sins are absolutely the worst, A man can't look at another woman without, smelling hellfire. While, on the other hand, bribe-taking politicos and faithless friends suffer terribly and are treated with contempt. In our universe, Bill Clinton is pilloried for his non-sexual fling with that woman, Monica Lewinsky, but the bribes he and his wife received, the crimes they committed, are viewed as trivial. In fact, as we make our way through Dante's Commedia, we find ourselves in a remote an alien moral universe whose principles are as foreign to us moderns as the code of Hammurabi or the writings of Lao Tzu. We're a bit like characters of a science fiction novel. Landing on a planet in some distant star system, we're bewildered by everything we see. The two suns shining in a red sky. The grass is purple. Talking insects are the ruling class raising humanoid creatures for food. To penetrate into the mysteries of Planet Dante, we need a little help from someone closer to our own time. Someone who understands the moral universe we live in, but also has some insight into the moral thinking of past centuries. And I find generally the best guide to moral conventions are not philosophers nor even historians, but poets and novelists who have to intuit their way back into a different sort of world. Dante would have agreed with this, I think, which is why he relies so much on Virgil, Statius, and Sordello rather than on Cicero and Livy, as much as Cicero, Livy, of course, Thomas and Aristotle. As a guide to Dante's moral universe, I want to turn to a great English novelist. And those of you who have read my Prologue of Every Life know exactly who this novelist is going to be. It's E.M. Forster. In his essay, Two Cheers for Democracy, a very famous passage, Forster affirms the priority of personal relationships and the need for personal loyalty and trust over ideological abstractions. Tired of the wrangling of communists and fascists, and remember this essay was published originally in 1938, Forster rejected the political morality advocated by movements and causes. I hate the idea of causes, he wrote, and if I had to choose between betraying my country and betraying my friend, I hope I should have the guts. Notice the correct use of the word should, by the way, which almost disappeared from English. I hope I should have the guts to betray my country. Such a choice may scandalize the modern reader. It would not have shocked Dante, though. Dante places Brutus and Cassius in the lowest circle of hell because they had chosen to betray their friend Julius Caesar rather than their country.